Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
All right, boys.
To the podding shed.
There may not be any major rugby to speak of, but we are still podding, and we will be every single week until the World Cup. So let's do it again. Hands in, pod on three. One, two, three.
Pod!
Oh dear, malfunction with Phil's microphone. You right there, Phil?
What are you doing, Phil?
Maybe.
That noise you can hear there.
How is this so difficult?
Yes. There we go. JB is here. Phil is here.
Hi, Tim.
Hello, Tim.
And this is the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast, your weekly dose of inane rugby chat. We don't take it or ourselves too seriously, the game of rugby, but we love it. And it is just under now 100 days until the World Cup. It's getting closer. It'll be here before you know it, boys.
Indeed.
At Rugby Podcast is where you can find us. You can tweet to at Rugby Podcast on Twitter. You can listen to us via the Acast app. We quite often chuck some little extra content up there during the pod. Like in previous weeks, we've had pictures of JB naked from his stag do.
Yeah, that happened.
Which was an effort to try and stop Jay from having his phone interrupt the podcast.
Naked, that's interesting. Okay, that actually links quite nicely into this.
Really? Where are we going now?
It does, actually. Well, I did... As you guys know, there's two things which I really dislike, or three things if you include touch rugby.
Nudity is definitely not one of them.
Well, one is charity, and the other is football. And today I played charity football.
Wow.
Yeah.
What's that got to do with nudity?
Because the charity football was for testicular cancer. And I met the founder, a guy called Jack. The charity is called Baggy Trousers. And he said that they're really trying to get into rugby clubs, but it's an embarrassing subject. I was like, no, it isn't. All we do is spend time naked.
Yeah. If there's one sport where men are quite comfortable talking, and even probably
just chatting,
I'd say most rugby clubs, they probably, without even putting it under the name of checking for testicular cancer, you probably end up checking each other's.
Exactly.
Just as much as you would need to. So, yeah, you're quite right with that. We've had a bunch of people getting in touch. So you can listen on the Acast app and we put some extra content up there. You can subscribe through iTunes. And thank you very much for doing so and making us the most listened to rugby podcast out there. In the known universe. Right. So we've had lots of people getting in touch since last week's podcast. A lot about the Hardman 15 that we did. We did a Hardman 15, if you remember, in honour of Jerry Collins, and some of the reactions to that. Steve Visser says, you missed, for him, an obvious choice at 15, Andre Joubert, the South African, broke his hand and played in a World Cup final and won a World Cup medal.
Pretty impressive.
That is impressive.
William Littlejohns says, scrum half, Mike Phillips... No,
nope.
Joost van der Vesthuizen, which absolutely...
I can't believe we missed him.
I can't believe we missed Joost. So, absolutely.
Another one from the first scrum half from the weekend, Augustine Poulou broke his arm and played on till the end of the game.
Tough lad. John O'Donnell said, at second row, how could you overlook Paul O'Connell? Now, I just think that was the strongest area.
Troncon? I've just had a periscope now.
Italian scrum half, Troncon. He was a nuggety. He could have played hooker or scrum half, couldn't he? He was one of those kind of builds. Yeah, that's a good shout.
I think that was mainly the problem with the Italian team throughout all of the 90s, wasn't it? They could literally play anywhere because maybe they weren't as good as they could have been.
Yeah. Well, they didn't play anything outside 10, did they? It was nine-man rugby and then drop goals from Dominguez.
Dominguez was incredible. Yeah. He was so incredibly small, yet incredibly good.
John O'Donnell says Paul O'Connell. I can't put Paul O'Connell ahead of the four second rows we came up with.
Charlie Matthews.
Danny Grewcock. It was... Backies Boater.
Cudmore.
Brad Thorne.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, Paul O'Connell. If we were talking about best players ever... Paul O'Connell would be in with a shout at second row. But
he's very good.
He'd be in with a shout.
I think it's the second row. It's so competitive.
Yeah.
I mean, there's only two positions.
We didn't even mention Martin Johnson.
Yeah.
That was a tough lad as well.
Fabian Palouse. Yeah. There's so many. Mark Andrews. He was so hard. It was ridiculous.
My brother says the hardest player he ever played against was Mick Galway.
Oh, really?
The Munsterman. He was making his one of his first games, and they played against Munster, and he just said that he got given a lesson that day in toughness. He had studs all up his back and everything. Basically, he just bullied. Wow. He bullied him for 80 minutes.
Who? I think it was. Now I'm going to get this wrong. Who was a famous Wasps number 8? Really, not Delalio. Before you say anything, I'm just trying to. Okay, so your mate
Andy Powell.
Nathan Hughes.
Okay, who the coach for Worcester is?
Dean Ryan.
Dean Ryan. Okay, so did Dean Ryan play for Wasps?
Yes.
Right, I think it was Dean Richards or someone. Someone in their book said in their first game, their coach told him that in the first lineout he had to hit Dean Ryan as hard as he could just to get one up. And I've got a feeling he either got hit by Dean Ryan. Oh, forget it. I don't know. I don't know.
That's cool. A story, great, Brian. Yeah, great
cool story.
Story.
Cool story.
Someone
Brian.
Basically hit Dean Ryan. There you go. Finish off on that.
Hold on. Jay is available for after dinner speaking.
What a horror show.
All right. Who,
Martin Corey. Martin Corey hit him. There you go.
Okay.
Move on.
And Antonio said that you two got it wrong with Chris Latham. I was suggesting he was a hard 15. You two weren't having it. He says he's been a Worcester fan and he's one of the best and hardest players he's watched play at Worcester. And Owen said, how on earth did you boys have a discussion about who was harder between Hibbard and Hartley? And then sent us a link to the video.
Exactly, my point.
Where Richard Hibbard just took a total dive after being run into by Dylan Hartley.
Hartley is the best hooker in the world 15 years ago.
All right, but I'll tell you what, there's one man who's now putting himself, his hand up to be in the hard men on the wing, hard man 15 on the wing, and that is a certain Mr. Wendell Saylor. Former Australian rugby union international, now playing rugby league again. And he took part in the...
Is he?
He's not playing now.
Sorry,
is he?
Not playing now, sorry. But
he did go back to league.
He went back to league.
Wendell Saylor's got his own, brand image thing.
Okay.
Do you like for hats and stuff?
Yeah,
he's actually got his own brand.
Well, Wendell Saylor went onto the NRL, so the Australian Rugby League TV show, and against Ben Ross, another rugby league star.
Was that a rugby league guy?
Yeah. It's the Iron Arm Challenge. And, well, the result for Ben Ross is that he's now got 4 or 5 months on the sidelines.
Crikey.
Because Wendell Saylor broke his arm and ruined his bicep. I'm going to play it.
No, please don't play it.
Look away, Jay.
I hate this. Is it? I'm going to
take off. You have to listen carefully. Listen carefully.
I don't want to listen carefully.
Shh. It's that noise.
That's why I'm not listening. The only thing worse than watching it is listening to it, and that's what I've got to do now. All right, can I put my headphones back on?
You just hear a little pop, and then you see Ben Ross scream, like I think anyone would.
That's horrible. That's absolutely horrible.
It happened in the World's Strongest Man.
About
15 years ago, yeah, and they never had arm wrestling as a competition since then.
Do you know, and BT Sport will openly say this, the producers of BT Sport base a lot of their Rugby Tonight show on
the NRL footy show,
which is really, apparently a really good show. I've not watched
it. Yeah, it's excellent.
I just wonder how BT Sport are going to up this.
Mm.
Because they're clearly going to want
to
do
fights to the death.
Do something bigger and better.
Retired players, two men enter, one man leaves with a contract. The other doesn't play
doesn't
again.
Doesn't leave at all.
Wendell Saylor tweeted, I feel so sorry, Ben. I feel so bad. You're a brave man. I couldn't have handled it the way you did. Just guilt talking. You've got to feel a bit sorry for Wendell Saylor. He didn't mean that, obviously.
No.
There's some sort of weakness in the arm anyway. I mean, arms just don't snap, do they? Wendell Saylor's snapping them.
I was thinking it's only snapped because his muscles are stronger than his bones. if that makes sense. Because his muscles won't allow his arm to go anywhere, so the pressure's got to go.
God.
Pressure's got to be released somewhere. Ugh, it's horrible.
It is. I'm going to do a name drop here, and I once interviewed, for my day job, I once interviewed Steven Seagal. There we go, name drop.
Wow.
And he showed me a bit. I said to him, come on, show me some Aikido. And he said, all right, come at me. Come at me, bro.
So
I said, okay, right, well, I'm going to put a punch your way. I didn't actually punch him because I thought I don't want to connect. But in any case, I put my hand out to hit Steven Seagal. He grabbed my wrist, just one-handed, and just twisted me into a position. And he had me held and I couldn't move. And it felt like my bone was bowing.
Ooh.
And I said, could you break this if you wanted to? And he went, oh, yeah, no problem.
Sensei Seagal, as Anderson Silva calls him.
Yeah,
have you ever had the conversation with a guy who does martial arts? You know, the dweeb that does martial arts, probably not very good at team sport and taking up ninjutsu or something pathetic. I had this in a wedding where someone was asking me...
Hold on, you do wrestling, Jay.
You do BJJ.
You do BJJ. Well, you do BJ.
Yeah, that's right. well, I had this situation where someone was... basically saying, oh, you're a big lad, do you do rugby? And he's only asking me the question so he could come back at me with, I do ninjutsu. And then you got to have the situation, kind of like you did with with Steven Seagal, where they say, throw a punch. Just throw a punch. And I'll show you, it was so horrifically awkward. Then you got to throw a punch in a wedding.
I
just grab it.
Do you remember, there was always someone in the playground at school that blagged that they were some incredible martial artist. They may well have been, but they said that thing, they go, I have to legally warn you before we fight.
Yeah, that was
that I can't be held responsible for my actions.
I heard when I used to do like martial arts as a kid, the law was you had to warn someone three times before using your skills. And they used to give you these little booklets, which you stamp or something, like a little membership booklet to say that you did what.
It's like Napoleon Dynamite, isn't it? So let's talk about some rugby that's happened, because despite the fact that it's all over in the UK, really, there's still rugby going on, and it was the top 14 final at the weekend, a game I didn't watch, and I think that a lot of people that did take the time to watch it came away disappointed, but a win for Stade Francais.
It was. I've done more interesting and more exciting things with my Saturday nights in the past, I'll be honest.
I did watch some of it. I watched the Sky Sports highlights package. Now, I did tweet this out as well. How many seconds of rugby do you think was in the Sky... It's a five-minute programme. How many seconds of rugby was in the Sky Sports highlights package for the top 14 final?
Well, there were a couple of good breaks, mostly by the Stade Francais 12, Dante, and one or two by Benders.
Benders!
And some good field position. So I guess you could get a good 30 seconds out of
30
it if you stretched it.
I'd go higher. You'd think out of a five-minute programme, more than 30 seconds. What was it?
8 seconds. It was eight seconds of rugby. If you include replays...
Was the rest of it just the kicks and the yellow card?
Yeah, it was... In fact, the bit of rugby they showed was just... The ball carry, Julian Bordy comes in, nothing wrong with that, not a yellow card.
It was definitely a yellow card.
It was your kind of game, actually.
Let the boys play!
Your kind of game, just lots of boring kicks, penalties, lots of abiding by rules. In fact, if no one had been carded, there'd be literally no rugby.
Not quite. You didn't actually see the game, did you?
No, I just saw the highlights.
Yeah, so you did miss out on some... There was some good skill by both teams, some good breaks, particularly... Dante, as I mentioned, looked really good. But it was all about Parise.
Was it?
He was everywhere. Even though it wasn't the best game, but just Parise and victorious. I don't know how much has Parise actually won in his career, because it's not a lot.
Not a lot.
Nowhere near talents.
If he was English or Australian or South African or a New Zealander, would have been one of the most decorated players ever.
Do you know what, though? He wouldn't look quite as good, because he looks so tremendous in that Italian stash. It's almost worth it.
The Italian and the... The Stade Francais.
Do you know, rugby's just a better place all around when Stade Francais are good.
Yeah, agreed.
It just feels right. Now, I never saw them winning the whole thing, but I'm glad they did.
But they've got such a monstrous pack as well. Like they bullied the three games. I've only seen them in the playoffs, but they took apart Racing, who got a notoriously massive pack, then Toulon, and then Clermont.
That's a big one, isn't it?
All three of them, like three... If you were picking the biggest packs in Europe, you'd probably put those three right up there, and Stade Francais just took them apart.
The whole playoff, to be fair, has been a pretty dull affair.
Stade Francais' first game against Racing was really good. They looked
The Aviva
excellent.
Premiership semi-finals were... it was quite rare. That Bath-Leicester game, for example, that's games like... And this is what I think, when you look ahead to the World Cup, it's really rare that you get a really exciting, incredible game when you get to the business end of the season, which is why, actually, for all the stick you give Stuart Lancaster's selection, and I do have issues with it myself. One thing I do think England are built for is knockout rugby and eking out those wins, potentially.
Well, let's find out, but I doubt it.
We'll see in 100 days. I've just realised I completely forgot to play a bit of music for Wendell Sailor. I spent ages thinking about this. Do you remember this? Mr. Wendell. I was going to play this while we were talking about it, sorry. But I've just ruined it. But I am going to play a song now, because I've remembered this one, for Claremont Auvergne. Do you know this song?
I recognise it. It's American.
It's Beck.
Yeah.
And the song is Loser. What have Claremont got to do to win a title?
Do you know what, though? It's kind of like Chris Wilds. Chris Wilds can't start because then he won't be the best replacement. So Claremont can't win because otherwise they won't be...
The second best team.
Yeah. In a way, it's a good thing.
Looking back over the last 9 years, they've been in 8 finals and they've only won one, which was 2010, top 14 versus Perpignan.
Fact.
7 out of 8 losses. I did see somewhere that they'd lost
11 out of 12.
Yeah, but I couldn't actually work it back. I couldn't find out.
But we're talking top 14 titles,
top 14
European titles. Yeah. It's just, if you're a player like Aurélien Rougerie, just think how many titles a guy like that, again, talking about great players, a guy like that deserves.
Yeah. Well, no one deserves anything.
No, but you know what I mean. You know what I mean? Like, it wouldn't be unfair if he'd walked away with a hatful of titles, because you'd go,
it would, because he hasn't won any.
Great player.
It would be grossly unfair.
Fine.
Is it mental with them?
Who knows?
The injuries did really cost them. If they'd have had Davies and Fofana in the centre, it would have made a big difference. I do think it's at the point where it has to be mental. There's no way around it.
The coach, you know, Vern Cotter was a great coach for them, but they thought, we'll just swap it up. Same thing happens.
But it was in the press all last week, and it will get to the players because they're in interviews and they're being asked the questions. Do you think you'll choke? That kind of question.
Yeah,
it's got to have an effect.
And even if you try and ignore it, there's still, you're getting asked that question and knowing that's what people are saying subliminally, subsciously.
Do you know
what? It's
such a tough league to win as well. I mean, that's the other thing. There is not the playoffs for. I mean, and the European Cup. It's just brutal. Absolutely brutal.
Yeah, but you think out of 11 or 8, depending on which one, that you'd get a better return than one.
Yes.
Mind you. Because they're playing against other teams who are in similar boats.
Yeah.
Most of the time.
Just it's an incredible statistic and really quite rare. Other rugby that's going on, the Under-20s World Cup. Have you caught any of this, boys?
Yeah, I've watched all the England games.
I thought the New Zealand-Argentina game was great. I mean, New Zealand underperformed and Argentina... I had a really good day at the office. It was very close. New Zealand did enough to win, but that was a really good game.
Yeah.
There was, during the Six Nations, of some statistic. Please, Phil, back me up here because I know I'm going to get it wrong. Something like the pack of the under-20s is now heavier than the World Cup winning pack for England.
So the...
Is that right?
The under-20s pack that won the Junior World Cup last year or 2 years ago, whenever they won it, 13 or 14... The pack was heavier than...
The one that had Luke Cowan-Dickey in it.
Itoje.
And,
yeah, it was heavier than the 2003 England World Cup winning pack.
Fact. Isn't that amazing?
And that is how conditioning has moved on.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of stories recently. There's been some French scientists that have come out and said some of the weight gain, and maybe this is talk for another podcast because we've got lots to talk about this week, but he said there is no explanation other than drugs for the speed of weight gain that is being seen across the board in players. And I think it was in the...
I just get sick of the doping chart, though.
In South Africa, it was like 11... The South African schoolboy, they did 52 random tests in some of the top schools. 12 of them came back as doping out of 52.
But that doesn't surprise me.
It doesn't surprise me. I don't think it's going to be quite as bad as everyone thinks. There'll be some supplement which I've got which isn't quite... meeting international standards, shall we say.
I can't name names or clubs
or
anything. I can't name names or clubs, but someone that I knew very well...
I'll name them for you, go on.
No, you won't. Someone I know very well was a loosehead prop at a club, went to another club. He was very young at the time, and he got told, you're not going to play rugby for the next year. You're going to go and worked with our medical guy, and he went off and he put on an incredible amount of weight. Didn't play rugby. He wasn't in the squad. He wasn't named as part of the squad. He was just in a. He was
in a laboratory.
A laboratory, basically,
Doing a Dolph Lundgren about a guy who played in the Northwest and ended up playing in Yorkshire. He jumped like four levels overnight. So if you can work that out, tweet us at Rugby Podcast.
Don't
just go
send us your doping stories at Rugby Podcast.
Going back to happier things in the Under-20s World Cup, England put in a couple of good performances against Wales and then Japan, but then came well and truly unstuck against France, but have just about managed to qualify for the semi-finals.
Now, what is the format of the Under-20s World Cup? Can someone tell me?
Oh, Phil, can you?
I think it's three groups of four, and then the top four from those three groups, so three winners plus one other, of which England is the one other, go into a semi-final.
So England are the best runners-up?
England, best runner-up. They play top seed, which is South Africa. France play New Zealand. But there's simultaneously like a plate and a shield competition for the next best four and the bottom four.
That's all right. Doesn't seem too complicated.
No, the one that we care about is tomorrow night, Monday night.
Tonight, if you're listening to this, probably, yeah, possibly. Yeah. Or last night, or a couple of nights ago.
The one that we did care about 2 nights ago, if you're listening
unless
on Wednesday.
Unless you're going through a whole back catalogue, it could be any time, really.
Yeah, this was 4 years ago, and hasn't the podcast gone on to strength to strength? Can you believe it's got its own TV show on BT Sport now?
And I tell you what, Tim, how I miss Phil after that yachting accident.
The one we care about, England.
I think it's half five and half seven, or half eight, Monday night, as the England v South Africa and New Zealand versus France, which I most definitely will be watching.
Yeah, the baby box seems like quite a sarcastic name for a team, doesn't it? When you look at the size of some of those boys.
Well, I mean, you look at the size of the England pack. I mean, they've got their captain, Charlie Ewells, who looks awesome. I mean, that's exactly what Bath need, really. More awesome players.
Yes, more young guys
awesome
coming
players,
through.
Yeah. So,
coming through, yeah.
There
was a lovely moment before the Argentina game. New Zealand did a haka, and Tano Umanga's one of the coaches, and he was a very, very close friend of Jerry Collins. And the New Zealand boys all got in quite an unusual formation. They were all huddling around and arm in arm as Argentina were waiting for the haka. And the leader of the haka led a bit of a preamble before the haka. But I'll let you listen to it first.
Following the tragic accident in southern France some 48 hours ago now, the Kamate.
That moi moi ra, moi moi ra, that they named the Jerry Collins and his wife and the baby who they've left behind.
Ooh.
And that moi moi ra is Maori, and it's basically rest in peace.
Probably now is not the best time for me to express my dislike of the haka, is it? So I won't.
No, very much so. I think 99.9% of people in the rugby fraternity, nothing to do with the touching way it's been used this week, would probably disagree with you. I think it's one of the best bits of theatre.
It's not.
That and DJ Spoonie at the, Millennium Stadium.
The haka attracts
people. Not now.
Okay. Yeah, not now.
Because there's another brilliant haka. You will have seen, obviously, it was Byron Kelleher, Ali Williams, Carl Heymans, Nima Tialata, and Chris Marsoe.
Yeah.
At the roadside, at the place where the car crash happened, they're all New Zealand former teammates of Jerry Collins, who are based in France.
Where is Byron Kelleher at the moment? Is he still playing?
No. Wasn't he at Toulouse?
And then Toulouse, yeah.
Just generally being a lad.
Last year, I think he was looking for a contract, but I think he's 36 or 37 now. And as far as I'm aware, he's not playing, certainly not top division.
Mm.
And they said their goodbye to their lost compatriot. Oh, what is it with adverts on stuff like this should be banned? Right,
yeah.
Have a look online. You know where it is. Some people are trying to make money off it. Get lost.
Agreed. Right.
But it was a lovely touching moment. Now, we've got a couple of things coming up. An A to Z of the World Cup, which we're starting today and is going to run for the next few months. A stash watch. There's been some teams that have brought out their World Cup kit. And also Super Rugby we've got to talk about. However, right now, Phil has prepared a quiz.
Here we go.
Pens and paper, gentlemen.
Pens and papers.
Six questions, there may be more than 6 points available. Okay, question number one.
Yeah.
The top 14 final has been held at the Stade de France since 1998. Where will it be held in 2016?
Stade de France 2016. Easy. Next.
Question two. Can you name Super Rugby's top point scorer and top try scorer for this season?
Okay.
Question three. Harlequins have just been on an end-of-season tour to play a couple of games and do some coaching. Where was it to?
Ah, that's interesting.
I know that one, I think.
I do not know that one, but I know they're going somewhere, so...
Good.
I think that's in the
Stick that down on your list of dinner anecdote.
List of places in the world.
Damn it, don't know.
Okay, question four. Two players have announced that they are leaving Toulon for Racing Metro at the end of this season.
Okay.
Name them.
Okay.
Two players.
Question five.
Yeah.
The European Rugby Fair Play Awards.
Yawn.
Awards after my own heart were announced this week. And it's looking at ill discipline in the three major leagues. And the three cleanest teams across all of Europe came from the same country. Which country was it?
The three cleanest teams from all of Europe came from the same country.
Yes.
Which league was it?
Which country was it? And it's comparing the top three leagues. So the Aviva, the top 14, and the Pro 12.
Which country?
Yeah, okay.
And finally, question six. Who is the most experienced player in the England 50-man squad? And by experience, I mean test caps.
Ooh, that's interesting. It's one of those two, I think.
Oh, yes.
I don't know which one of those two to pick.
I go with the first one, Tim. Okay, I think I'm done.
I think I'm going to lose this one. Incredible. I haven't watched enough rugby. I haven't watched any Super Rugby, so I think I'm going to get stitched up by question number two.
Okay. So the top 14 final has been held at the Stade de France since 1998. Where will it be held next year?
Marseille, I would guess.
I've put... Oh, thank you, Jay. Because I know this one. It's the new camp in it Barcelona.
Is. Oh, wow!
The new camp. Because of Euro 2016.
There you go.
Yeah.
Question number two. This is where you make it back, though, because I haven't watched Super Rugby. So I guessed that the top try scorer, I just went for names that I knew that might have played, Julian Surveyor, and top point scorer, I just guessed Aaron Cruden. But
Surveyor's a great shout. I don't know
if it's a great shout. I just guessed who's the most obvious name I could think
of. I've gone with Nadolo.
Nadolo for top try scorer. He's second top try scorer. With nine. Top try scorer is TJ Perenara.
Thank God.
Oh, no, wrong button.
Top point scorer. Well, Tim's gone with Cruden. I was going to go with Cruden because he's in a great team. He's playing well, all the rest of it. But then I went with Carter because he had that monster game when he scored. God knows how many points of Carter.
Well, Cruden...
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Did his cruciate ligament about 2 months ago.
Oh, right.
So he's out of the World Cup.
Oh, okay.
Hasn't played for a couple of months.
Yep. So I've been paying attention.
Carter has been playing well. He's been playing 12 and he's been kicking and scoring tries, but not as many points as Bernard Foley.
Oh!
Who is top.
Never mind.
Good. Okay, fine. Number three. So currently it's 1-0 to me still.
1-0 to Tim.
It's a high scoring quiz.
Right, I think I know the next one as well.
I was going to say USA, but it's not. I think it's in Eastern Europe somewhere.
By the way, this is where Harlequins are having their pre-season tour.
Yeah.
Or off-season tour.
Poland
for Jay. Tim?
Bermuda.
One of you has
got it correct,
and it is Tim.
Yeah!
A second point for Tim.
Come on.
Right, which two players are leaving Toulon for Racing Metro?
I believe... Tim, do you have one?
I've got Martin Castrogiovanni and Chris Massoi.
I've got Morsoi and Hernandez.
Tim has got 2 points. JB has got 1 point.
Oh, dear. I don't think I can win this now.
So it's 4-1.
God damn it. So my last two answers are Aviva.
I've got Italy.
Italy. You've got Aviva.
Oh, there's not three teams. England. There's not three teams in Italy, though, is there?
There's only two teams in Italy.
Yes. So I've definitely got that one wrong.
Have been Italy.
Oh, well. Because that was which country has got the top three fair play winners. So what country are you going for, Jay?
You've gone for England. It's not. It's Ireland. Connor, Munster and Leinster. Ulster were about third worst.
Yawn. Why do they... Who goes these awards? Who is patting themselves on the back for being the cleanest team?
Connacht, because they get £10,000 for being the cleanest team.
Who cares?
And the most capped, most experienced player in the England squad, I just said Nick Easter.
That's very good. I've gone Youngs.
I was going to go Haskell, but I completely forgot about Youngs.
That's the only one I can think of. It's quite an inexperienced team, actually.
Nick Easter, I think he's on 50 caps, or just recently passed. The person with the most caps is 58.
Haskell?
Now, it would have been Dylan Hartley, who's on 66.
I thought that.
But it is James Haskell.
So neither of us got that right.
God, that's rubbish.
So by a margin of 4-2.
4-1. 4-1.
2?
He got...
I'll give myself a phantom point.
4-1.
4-1. That's a hammer in that.
That's bad. Well, you know, I was on a three quiz winning streak, so...
You were?
You know, all good things come to an end eventually. I might even have to write a quiz myself soon.
You should do.
Do some prep before a pod. I believe that when I see it.
Exactly.
All right, OK, so what's going on in Super Rugby then? I mentioned during that and embarrassingly said Aaron Cruden as my shout for top scorer.
I not really watched
despite the fact he hasn't played for 2 months.
It feels like all the unfashionable teams from previous seasons seem to be doing quite well.
So what is happening? We're at playoff stage now, aren't we?
Yes, we've had round 18.
Hold on, I'm going to get some music. What music should be... Oh, I know this.
Top 14 music? Sorry.
Super Rugby music. Super Rugby music.
No, let's play this.
Okay.
Down, Men at Work with Down Under.
Okay.
Very good.
Come on then.
Okay. So, probably the team that I've actually watched most this year, not because I support them or anything, just because it's coincidence. Hurricanes romped.
The Canes.
Romped to the top of the league. Won 14 out of 16 games and were generally incredibly impressive every time I saw them. They've got a near All Blacks back line with Perenara, Bowden Barrett, Nonu and Conrad Smith in the centres, Surveyor and Curry Jane on the wings, and Milner Scudder, a young lad who's been tipped to possibly make it for the All Blacks as a 15.
Oh yes, I know the kid.
So they're first place. They've guaranteed themselves a home semi-final in 2 weeks. Waratahs, after winning it last year, maintain that form. They comfortably beat the Reds this weekend in a pretty poor game. Dreadful conditions.
I watched that, and my wife told me to turn it off. It was so boring.
I watched the first...
She actually said, I quite like rugby, but this is awful.
I watched the first half, and it finished
3-0 at half-time. Listen to this line. Just smile and give me a Vegemite sandwich. There you go. Sorry, carry on.
Thanks.
Vegemite sandwich.
Vegemite sandwich.
Oh, a bit of my sandwich. Oh, who cares?
It was a dreadful game. I only watched the first half. I switched off as well. All the points were scored in the second half.
Yeah.
So Hurricanes, Waratahs, both secured semi-finals, and then you have the playoffs.
Did you see the hit made by Sonny Bill Williams?
Yes.
I love the way that the commentator described it as, it started okay and went a bit higher. Like, no, it didn't. It started on his chin and ended up on his forehead. Let the boys play.
I think that was reasonable.
But why? It's against the rules. It's
got a hit on Conrad Smith, wasn't it? Here it is.
Eat that, Conrad.
Sonny Bill Williams. How's he got up so quick from there? I tell you, he's been absolutely creamed. by Sonny. Down goes Conrad.
I love Sonny Bill Williams so much.
That's fine.
But he connects with his chin.
Yeah, but
yeah,
no, he was going down.
His arm.
He was low.
His arms wrap around.
Are those the laws?
If someone's falling over.
Are those the laws? Hey, I'm all for it. It's you guys that are the hypocrites here.
What?
With you. Right. You're a stickler for laws. How on earth can you let that go?
It was fine.
It was fine.
Unless with the law, it's not fine, is it?
That wasn't a swinging arm to the chin or to the hip. Sonny Bill Williams' body, it's like a bear hug. It's just like he just enveloped him and bear hugged him.
I think that's actually a penalty, but I'm happy to see
Let the boys play, Jay.
I'm happy to see it.
How many times do I have to tell you, just let the boys play?
Oh, this is one of my favourite videos of all time. if it's Sonny Bill Williams one.
No, it's just the music.
Oh. Yeah, there's some
here
great
comes
rugby,
the boom.
Rugby compilations to that.
Boom!
No one has given me more hours of online pleasure than Sonny Williams.
No one.
No one.
No one. Gianna Michaels.
Maybe her. I recommend anyone who's into Sonny Bill Williams to watch the highlight video. Which one is it now? Oh, the one where it's got his like cartoon face at the start. It's unbelievably good.
JB waits until his Mrs. Layla is left for work. Then he shuts the living room curtains. Then Sonny Bill Williams compilation video.
No, I'm an open watcher of Sonny Bill Williams. It's the record show.
Here is something that we're going to be doing for the next couple of months on the Egg Chasers Rugby podcast, and we will need your help. What we're going to try and do over the next bunch of weeks is assemble an A to Z of the Rugby World Cup, taking three letters at a time, going from A to Z, and just marking each letter with one person or game or moment or country or whatever it is connected to the World Cup that we think is worthy of making our list of 26 people, places, games, whatever. And obviously we're going to start with the letter A. So you won't be able to contribute. Well, you can contribute and tell us ones we missed for the letters A, B and C, which we'll get to in a second. But for next week, we'll need D, E, F. And then for future weeks, obviously, we'll need future letters. So at Rugby Podcast, get in touch with us on Twitter. The A to Z of the Rugby World Cup. What do you have for the letter A, potentially? And we'll pick one.
What did you have, Tim?
Australia. Simple as that. A country because they're a country that have won it twice.
One of only three.
They've been involved in some of the most epic matches ever. That game against New Zealand, that semi-final against New Zealand, was that 91, the game in England?
Yeah.
Incredible match.
Is this Tim Horan just lost his mind?
Yeah.
He was like food poisoning for
he was
all
ill,
week.
And then man possessed and still managed to play.
Put on his boots and went to war.
And got a man of the match.
Yeah.
Got a man of the match performance, yeah. And I just think Australia you think of some of the best games that there have been. The very first World Cup, the semi-final, they lost out with an injury time try to Serge Blanco. They're involved in some of the best games ever. They've won they've won the tournament twice. And so Australia, I think, would rightly be worthy of an A. But unless we've got any other options.
I'd gone for anti-apartheid.
Pious. So pious.
No. Africa missed out on the first two tournaments until after apartheid. Joined it in 1995. Won the tournament and have won two out of the five tournaments they've played in since. And just in the home tournament, the 1995 tournament, there's obviously all the Mandela stuff, but Chester Williams, who scored four tries in the quarterfinal versus Samoa, was just a good representation of that.
Have you read the book which the film is based on?
Invictus?
Yes.
No.
I have to say, it's one of the best reads. I mean, I'm
really
not particularly pious in that way, but it's a really great book.
When did someone teach you the word pious? You seem to have spouted it half a dozen times over the last two pods.
Are you being paid every time you say pious?
Yeah, it's a brand of T-shirt.
It'd be a good name for a posh pie place, wouldn't it? A good pun.
Oh, yeah.
Like a posh pie restaurant called Pious. That'd be good.
Speaking of pies, did you see that James Johnson of JJ's Pies might be joining Sale?
Really?
It's quite a good fit.
Really?
Fit with the Northwest Pie route, I think.
That's a big signing if Sale get him.
It would be.
How have you heard this? Where's this come from?
It's rumour.
Oh, my God.
Go on.
This all could fit together. I was in Manchester Town Centre today, and there was a big Manchester Day thing that was going on.
I will talk about that in a second.
So there was a Manchester Day thing. There's a parade. There's loads of stuff going on in town. I took the kids down to look around. I was on Deansgate, one of the main artery roads through the centre of Manchester. And I was crossing the road at the traffic lights. And I looked around and there was a Saracens car, branded car, on Deansgate in Manchester.
Really?
At about, what would that have been? About 3:30, 4 o'clock seems on odd Sunday afternoon.
Seems odd for Saracens to lend James Johnson the car so he can sign for sale. And it's not very inconspicuous.
Really trying to get rid of him?
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll drive you all the way up there.
No, but I mean, if they may know he's having conversations, or he may have a club car.
It also might be a
and
lot.
He's still contracted for another month.
And it might also be a lot of salary for them to keep around for.
It probably is
next year.
Yeah,
it was a big signing from Quinns,
and he wasn't playing towards the end of the season.
And from what I understand, Sale have a lot of salary cap to spend.
They do have a lot of salary cap to spend.
They don't spend up to the cap, and that was last year before the increased cap provision.
And they're now
and they've lost
more.
Michael Patterson.
Yeah,
and they've lost Mark Jones.
They're getting more money from the increased BT Sport deal, so it might all fit. But
there you go. It could be completely nothing. But I'm telling you, there was a Saracens branded car in the middle of Manchester on Sunday afternoon. That was there for some reason.
Yeah.
Maybe it was James Johnson.
Hmm.
All right, so where were we? So the letter A then. So anti-apartheid or Australia, which one are you going with, Jay? I think anti-apartheid is good for
Australia.
Australia, okay.
Well, okay.
Well, I suppose the anti-apartheid could potentially come back with M for Mandela, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we'll talk about that one at a later date. So Australia, by virtue of their two victories in the World Cup and having been part of some of the best games the World Cup has ever seen. Oh, another game they were part of, which will break Irish hearts, but that quarter-final in 1991 when Ireland heroically were ahead and then David Campese and Michael Leiner scored a last-minute injury-time try to deny Ireland a place in the semi-finals. B.
Now, this is probably going to be quite contentious, Jacques Berger, who we all love.
Indeed.
But he's not really synonymous with the World Cup.
We
know he's been to 2007, 2011.
I had Jacques Berger down as well, and I think you're absolutely right, Phil.
Because in 2011, Namibia played 4, lost 4.
Mm-hmm.
Hammered in 4. They conceded more than 80 points twice. But Jacques Berger, who was captain in Namibia, was shortlisted as one of the 5 players of the tournament.
Wow.
In spite of that.
Playing in a team which got humped in the 4 games they played, to be in the list of the 5 best players in the World Cup is a phenomenal achievement. Another B option, Brian Lima, the Samoan centre winger who played in 5 World Cups in a row. He was age 19 when he made his first appearance.
If you're gonna go,
16 years later, he was still playing in a World Cup.
There again, if you're going to go with centres named Brian, I'd probably go with O'Driscoll.
But he's had relatively uneventful World Cup.
Brian Lima?
Brian Lima, five World Cups.
World Cups.
Crikey.
And the only other B I could think of would be Brad Thorne, the oldest man to appear in a final, won it with New Zealand, transferred over from Rugby League.
Wow.
So, but probably not as deserving as Brian Lima or Jacques Berger.
Brian Lima's got negative thoughts about Brian Lima since his recent indiscretions.
Why? What's he done?
There was some domestic violence case
a couple
of years ago.
Okay, let's only judge him on his rugby.
But
only his rugby.
I think
nothing else.
I just think negatively about him.
Oh, so self-righteous.
So you want to go Jacques Berger?
No,
Jacques Berger.
Jacques Berger is B then.
Why not Brian Lima? He's been to 5. But 5 World Cups, think about that, just for a second.
Burger or Brian, tweet to at Rugby Podcast. Burger or Brian.
We can't go Burger because he was once nasty to someone.
The letter
No, he's
C,
a lovely man.
He is a lovely man, actually.
He was nasty to a lot of people he tackled throughout his career.
I think he's even nice when he tackles people hard.
Yes.
Right, the letter C then.
What do you go for, Tim?
I think I know which one that you'll go for.
What do you think I'll go for?
I think you might go for Christian Cullen.
No.
Oh, okay.
Did he do anything major in a World Cup?
Yeah, I think he was pretty good.
Sure, he did anything that incredible, but some people that did do incredible things. Sebastian Chabal made the 2007 World Cup. He became the face of the World Cup, wasn't he? And that press conference when someone from England went, Sebastian, will you talk? Will you answer a few questions in English?
No.
And got up and walked out.
We speak French.
The caveman. He was a marketing man's dream, and he had a bit of an impact on the pitch. But the C that I'd really like to put forward.
A bit. He played really well.
The C I'd really like to put forward is David Campese. one of the most divisive characters in rugby ever. But in terms, he's a World Cup winner, one of the best players the game's ever seen. Incredible winger.
Why is Campisi divisive?
Because he just says, I'll put it this way.
Controversial.
Is he?
I'll put it this way. Before his very first test, he was going to be lining up for Australia against a New Zealander called Stu Wilson, who was regarded as the best winger in the world at the time. He was asked by a journalist, how does it feel to be lining up in your first test against Stuart Wilson? And he said, Stuart who?
Nice.
That's before he'd even played a minute of rugby.
Who?
During the 91 World Cup, let me tell you another thing, if you don't remember, he ignored the hacker. So the Australia were all lining up.
You're not allowed to do that now.
I know. Australia were all lining up opposite the hacker. David Campisi was in his own 22, just running up and down, just doing some
warm-ups.
Good
for him. I think everyone should do that to the hacker, because it's like, I think it's world rugby law now. You can't respond to it. You can't come within 10 metres of it. It's just, if you're going to do that, ditch it.
And in 2003, after England won, he walked up and down Oxford Street in England with a sandwich board saying, I admit it, the best team won.
Wow.
But there you go. Campisi would be my shout. What you got, Phil?
Fairly boring. I had Canada, ever-present.
Well, sell it, Phil.
Ever-present.
Fairly
minnow
boring.
In the Rugby World Cup, they astonishingly actually got out of the group stage once.
Did they?
Made it to the quarterfinals in 1991, which was obviously very unexpected. But I would give it to Campisi ahead of Canada, unless you've got something else, Jay.
No, I quite like Campisi. I'm going to say Campisi for me.
So A is for Australia. B is for Burger or Brian?
Brian.
Brian Burger. Brian Burger. There you go. Oh, what a defensive player you'd have if you spliced the two. Australia, Brian Burger, and Campisi. C is for Campisi. Next week, it's going to be D, E, and F.
That sounds about right. Sounds logical.
The next week, it'll be G, H, and I.
Brilliant.
The next week, no, it's fine. But at Rugby Podcast, with any suggestions of what we should have picked for A, B, and C, and what we can pick next week. Stash Watch. South Africa and Australia, both sponsored by ASICS, have both unveiled their World Cup kits.
Mm. Can I have a look at these, please? I've seen some South Africa stuff, and I didn't find it too bad. So let's have a look at Springboks jersey. I say that is absolutely fine. They've covered all the bases. And one little
nibble. Sorry, I completely forgot.
Stash! Thank you.
Thanks, sir.
There we go.
There you go.
One small thing bothering me about the South Africa kit, which is they're getting too many emblems. So they've got three across the top now. I think just a single Springbok would be fine. And also, ABS is a bank, and that doesn't inspire me. I'm sure they used to have like a brand of heavy machinery.
I'm just trying to find, is that the latest one?
I'm not a big fan of the yellow on the arms, as it is.
Nothing.
I wouldn't mind a bit of gold trim. I wouldn't mind a bit of gold trim on the end of the sleeve. I like that, but I'm not sure. I'm not a fan of the big thick bit of yellow on the arm.
You know, I'm going to give that one an 8.
That's strong.
An 8, yeah. Well, I think the South Africa colour scheme is probably the nicest of all rugby kits.
It's a nice green, isn't it?
Yeah.
I do like it.
And it just suits. It suits the nation. It looks awesome.
Look at a picture of Tendai Matawara, the beast. He's got oiled up guns.
Wow.
In the new shirt.
Oh wow. Hang on. What's that? Is that a training top?
No, that's the 2015 World Cup shirt.
What were we looking at then?
That's it. What are you looking at then, Phil?
We're not looking at that.
Yeah, we're not looking at that.
That's the World Cup shirt.
No, I don't like that.
Wait.
Oh no. Oh no.
That one.
Rowing back big here.
Look.
Yeah, 2015, that is the Rugby World Cup shirt.
Oh,
yeah,
no.
we were looking at a different one.
Ooh. There's the Rugby World
Cup. I tend to agree with you now. There's no sponsor, which is good. Get rid of why have they got big Rugby World Cup badge on, in case you think they're playing Six Nations? Oh, that's unnecessary. I agree with you with the sleeves, though, Tim. The sleeves are too much.
Right, and I'm glad we're now looking at the same pictures.
Yeah.
Yes, finally.
So you know what I mean about the thick band of gold on the arm?
Not into that at all.
Although it does look better on the beast when he's got oiled up guns.
Rikey. And he's just, and you notice the way they've just, like, an action shot, he's just taking his ASICS boots out of his bag there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what mark would you give that now, Jay?
A 5.
Yeah, I think
it's come
five.
Down drastically.
5's fair.
It doesn't look like, I don't know, it looks like a training jersey, that.
It does. It doesn't look like a proper test jersey.
Hmm. Okay. And there's no sponsor. Okay, so that's fine. Now, Australia.
By the way, look at the shape. Eben Etzebeth's a
beast, isn't he?
He's a big old fella. For someone so tall, his legs are massive.
I'm not accusing anyone of anything, though. But if I was a drugs tester, If I was, I'd probably start at his house.
I'd start somewhere. We've got a lineup here.
Yeah. Who would you drugs test first?
That one, and that one.
If you're a commission driven drugs tester,
I'm sure I'm not going to be drugs testing him and Pat Lambie. You're okay. You can go home, Pat.
But the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast would like to say no, under no circumstances are we accusing anybody of anything.
Oh. Yeah.
Right now, the Australia kit. Then, so we're giving South Africa's kit 5 out of 10. Australia's kit
2.
I'd give it another 5.
You give it another what? So 7.
No, another same as South Africa's.
Okay.
Again, made by ASICS.
Too harsh, 3.
This is one of my problems with rugby kits.
So make sure we're seeing the same thing.
Yeah, we're seeing the same thing. It's got the, it's plain yellow with a bit of white trim around the collar.
A bit baggy on the arms.
Bit of white trim around the collar, and it's got on the right shoulder, it's got some green and yellow star detail. Now, this is my problem with rugby kits. They date badly.
Yeah, that will
that
date.
That is going to look terrible in 10 years.
Do you know what? The one that didn't date, surprisingly, was the Australia jersey. Was it like just the stars on it?
Oh, no, I'd hate that.
Yeah, I quite like that. I know the one you mean.
I think that's
I think it was from 95-ish, something like that.
Yeah, I think that's dated quite well, actually. That is a terrible kit.
It looks good, like... So we've got a line up here with Bernard Foley. It looks well fitted.
Yeah, it does. But some of them that look well fitted.
But yeah, Israel Folau has got
it's
a good
baggy
rig. It's just not.
It's a bit loose on the arms.
So where it's fitted, it looks good. Where it actually fits the guys.
Mm.
Carry on. There's no excuse though for wearing.
I don't like
trainers wearing. They've got matching ASICS trainers in the shop.
And do you know what? They're on a rugby field as well.
They're on grass.
They're on grass wearing trainers.
Simply put, if because they've done that, they probably won't get out the group stage now.
Yeah.
So
that if they don't get out the group stage,
that's why.
Mark my words, this will be the moment that all the journalists and rugby pundits will look back on, and we will look back on and go, the moment they lost the World Cup and didn't get out of the group stage was when they wore trainers on the grass in the promotional shop for their new kit.
Exactly. If you think taking your top off in a Himalayan mountain causes earthquakes and avalanches, wearing trainers in promotional shots prevents you from winning games.
This is one of my least favourite kits in a long time. I'm going to give it a generous 2.
I've given it 2 and moved up to 3. Yeah.
I think it's the same as the South Africa. I'm not a big fan of either, but they're both okay, unoffensive.
That Qantas kit is, I always thought was quite nice.
You see, right, this is one thing, because we need to get solve this, because I am a little bit addicted to purchasing and searching online for vintage Adidas clobber. And I've got a Nebraska Huskers American football
lovely
shirt on the way to my house. As we speak, it's in the post.
Is it Huskers? I thought the Huskies. No, Washington Huskies.
Yeah, it's the Nebraska Huskers.
Oh, is that because
college
of,
team?
Is because of the wheat or something?
The corn Huskers. Yeah.
Ah.
I've got an old school shirt of theirs on the way, and I love it. But an American football kits, and to be fair, a lot of football kits. I know we live in Manchester, and when people walk around in the old mid-80s Man United Adidas sharp football kit, it looks great. It's really good. But rugby kits, they do not date well. Vintage rugby kits look bad.
I disagree. I think that like the cotton stash from, say, like, just the full hoops from Leicester Tigers, that slightly lighter green one, or the darker green one, look wonderful. And the hoops from Bath too. There's a lot. In fact, I've got a really old Harlequins quartered one. Could be from ASICS.
I'll go along with that. The traditional works, like the classic Australian Canterbury shirts from back in the day with that, and the same with New Zealand when they had the Canterbury as well with the wider collars.
Yeah.
Australia just gold with dark green, and then New Zealand just the classic. I mean, New Zealand always go classic with their shirts. That's what I like about their kit.
Well, I mean, you can't really do much, can you, if you're called the All Blacks?
No.
I mean, you're going to struggle to, you know, mess that up.
Well, it was a different shade of black for the last World Cup, of course, wasn't it?
It was blacker than normal. But it wasn't, was it? Didn't we establish that it was at least partly grey?
Yes.
Yeah.
There is only one shade of black.
Yes.
Anything else is grey.
And it had two shades of black on it, so it had to be grey.
When you think about the teams that have won World Cups, England, the year they won the World Cup, their kit was way better than Australia with the stars and the big green bit on the sleeve. I think actually contributes to whether you win a World Cup or not.
Do you know what?
How good your kit is.
We should take a lesson here from American football. Surprise, surprise. The lesson is this. They are the most commercially successful sport out there, probably. Can we all agree on that? as a league and the way they do it? They're pretty.
Formula One's pretty commercially successful.
Yeah, okay, so there are others, but as team sports go, it's fairly commercially successful.
Yes, mm-hmm. It is.
I'm pretty sure that the rule there is you're not allowed to change your jersey for 4 years. So you have a jersey, you've got to keep it for at least 4 years. Could even be five. And if you look at someone like the Green Bay Packers, you don't know if you're watching the Green Bay Packers from the 50s or from you know modern day, because they do not change their kits. And they're sending in that. I think you select your kit at the World Cup, and that is your kit for the next 5 years.
Until the next World Cup.
Yeah.
And on that, England have another kit coming out next week.
But that means
we're going to talk about Jeff Parling and Parling and Tom Waldrum. So that's
fantastic. When are we getting them?
They'll be on the next podcast.
Oh, brilliant.
That is one of my favourite kits of all time was from the very first World Cup. And it was, look
at that!
They had the reverse in blue, but we're looking at the white French kit, and it's just it's either plain blue with on the sleeves white and red stripes all the way down the arm,
absolutely stunning,
or in white, red and blue stripes all the way down the arm.
And they don't age well. That is classic.
That is
beautiful.
That is a shirt that ages perfectly,
doesn't it? Just
yeah,
I want that. I really want
that. Right. I'm sure you can find it somewhere, Tim. Treat yourself.
Tell you the kit which I like, the classic Stade Francais. Do you know the like electric blue and then red shocks? That was one of my favourite kits. And it's a shame that they no longer use that. Their home kit now is always pink.
Right, well, next time we can talk about England's brand new kit, but that was this week's Stash Update.
Stash! Fairly comprehensive.
Pretty comprehensive. Is there anything else we need to talk about, gentlemen? I think we're done, aren't we?
I think that's it.
Super Rugby Top 14 Under 20s. Wendell Saylor, A to Z of the World Cup, quiz.
Oh, Manu Tuilagi rumoured to be going to Toulouse. Does that help?
Well, he's not rumoured to be going, is he?
Yeah.
Toulouse have just said they're making it their top priority to sign Manu Tuilagi.
That's quite a rumour then.
Well, no, it's not rumoured that he's going, because Leicester have said he's categorically not going. He is not available.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's all slowed down a bit on the transfers and stuff, hasn't it? But James Johnston to Sale Sharks would be a bit of a coup. I mean, I'm interested to see how that one pans out.
I hope to God that Manu Tuilagi goes, just so I can carry on with my Stuart Lancaster bandwagon of dislike.
I'm sure you will carry that on regardless,
yep.
Jay.
But, you know, all these great players playing abroad. No, it's all about my system. No, it's all about your players, Stuart.
Rugby Podcast, get in touch with us on Twitter and let us know about your A to Z of the World Cup, your reaction to anything you've heard on this week's podcast. When the England kit gets announced, give us your reviews and we can share that on our Stash Update. And just generally keep in touch, because on Twitter we'll be announcing little breakout Periscope sessions where we'll be chewing the cud and asking for your thoughts and feedback on the Acast app, on iTunes, and at Rugby Podcast on Twitter. Thank you very much for listening. Nice one, JB.
Thank you, Tim.
See you next time. Phil.
Cheers, Tim.
In a bit.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.